he was the youngest in the family.
Gustav Middelfart.
Yeah.
And the youngest of what family?
Of my grandfather's. He was the younger brother of my grandfather, Hans Christian Ulrich.
He was your great uncle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the mother died early, and he was only a teenager when she died, and he had no direction at all.
What siblings did he have?
He had, I think Anna was the oldest. She was married to Axel Holst, who was a medical doctor at the university, and he was also chairman of the medical department at the university in the 20s. He died of prostate cancer. So Anna was the oldest, and then I think it was Christian, and then Wilhelmine, or she may have, no, Wilhelmine was the second. And then Hans Christian Ulrich, and then Ingeborg, and then Gustav. So it was seven.
Wait, do you remember what year he was born?
My grandfather was born in I think...
No, Gustav.
Oh, Gustav? No, I can't remember that.
So Hans Christian Ulrich, you remember when he was born?
1865, I think.
So Gustav would have been late 1860s.
I think the mother died in 88.
Okay. He was... Okay.
And he went to the university and...
At Oslo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he got a degree in law. And he worked under lawyers in various districts.
In Oslo?
And outside of.
Okay.
And he was set down to sit and hand copy documents for lawyers. So he wasn't very enthused by this.
No.
So he just decided he was going to go. He had a lot of inheritance when I think his father died in 1896. After a kidney stone operation. Mm. So he traveled to France and to Britain, and he was in all over. And he ended up in London, where he fell in love with a prostitute who was supposed to be the hottest number in this particular part of town. And he didn't tell his family because he knew they wouldn't approve. But they, of course, found out. And from that point on, the older sister, Anna, tried to break up this. So when he showed up in Oslo with this prostitute, and he stayed in a fancy hotel, and he went with his wife to
did he marry her?
Opera.
Did he marry her?
Yes, he married her in 1901, I think it was. So he was spending his inheritance.
Do we know her name?
Yes, but it just escapes me. She was the illegitimate child of a hotel worker, a guy by the name of Rosenkranz Sörensen made her pregnant. And so this girl was born, and the mother was fired from her cleaning job, and so they sold wares on the street. And she married a guy who was a gardener for some wealthy man. And they made out pretty well, because in the flowering season, they cut all the flowers and sold them on the market. So she was treated once for gonorrhea, and was cleaned up on that, and then she went to London as a professional prostitute, where Gustav met her. And he wanted, after a while, he realized that he had lost just about everything. His sister Anna tried to find him a job way up north working for some lawyer in northern Norway.
Would he have taken the woman with him?
This was before. This was before he married her.
Okay.
But he went up north. He worked for a year or two subbing for a lawyer.
Yeah.
And he so screwed up everything that he left bills absolutely everywhere. And my grandfather used to get letters from merchants both in Oslo and up north saying, your brother has left a 450 crown bill here for groceries. We wonder if you could help us out. Mm. So you can imagine how he fitted into the picture. He was a real troublemaker.
Yeah.
Anyway, in 1913, he was getting really fed up living with this prostitute. So he said, you have to come with me to Africa. We have to do something exciting together. And she said, I'm not leaving Oslo. So he left. No divorce. Hmm. And he went to a number of different places after Rhodesia.
So he went, first he took a boat to Cape Town?
But no, to get to Rhodesia, he had to go via Cape Town to get
so
up.
So he must have taken a boat all the way down from Norway to the bottom of Africa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then he had nothing to do. He worked.
So he landed at Cape Town and he made his way. He had papers for a job in Rhodesia.
Yeah.
And he got to Rhodesia and the war had broken out.
Yeah.
And so there was all the business had dried up and there was no job for him.
Now, her name was Ida Olsen.
The girl.
Yeah.
Ida Olsen. Okay.
Anyway, he had to find work.
Mm-hmm.
He took all his private belongings, including his favorite typewriter, and pawned them. Pawn shop. Mm. And then he had to go earn money to win his typewriter back so he could write letters.
Mm-hmm.
He worked somewhere, and I'm not sure if it was in Rhodesia or in the Belgian Congo or where it was. He was laying ties with about nearly 100 natives and other unfortunate characters in 127 degree Fahrenheit temperature. And people were dying right, left and center from malaria. But he was kept alive because Anna kept mailing him medicines. Mm. So he stayed alive. He was only among five people, over 100 people on that project who didn't get malaria.
Wow.
And they were laying rail past villages that had no people alive. The tsetse fly had killed everybody and killed also all the domestic animals. Hmm. So while they were working in this heat, and found these deserted villages, you can imagine how this must have felt.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he ended up working for a government-run mining company. Union Minière.
Union Minière.
Yeah. Right. And he was a secretary or something like that because he didn't go out actually mining, but he worked for the company. And that just kept him barely alive. Later on, when maybe it was after the... No, it wasn't. I can't remember exactly. He was able to get back to London, where he had a nephew who was a wealthy man who was living there. Anna and Axel had an oldest son, Frederick, who became a ship owner and had two big ships in trading. Mm. So Gustav went and stayed with him, and they were good friends. And Gustav nearly got killed in London because the Germans bombed London. Oh. And he lost most of his hearing because the bomb fell just down the street from where he was.
Okay.
Anyway, he had to go back down to the Congo. Congo.
Why?
Well, he had, you know, he came up to London to have his teeth fixed. I guess they were rotting. And so I guess Frederick helped him out or something so he could get fixed up. And then he went back down again. So it wasn't his intention to escape the south. And then, I can't remember, I think he died in 1923. And in 20 or 21, he got a job in the Belgian Congo in the Diamond Belt, the Katanga part of...
Haut-Katanga. Haut-Katanga.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was put in charge of a farm. So he tried to grow crops, clear land, and farm it for the miners so they had food. But the job got bigger and bigger and bigger, and they didn't have enough breeding stock to keep ahead of the number of people who needed to be fed. So he was sent to Rhodesia. This was then after the First World War, where, with a veterinarian from the Belgian Congo, the two were to buy 4,000 head, I could be wrong, 400 or 4,000 head of cattle, and walk them back to the farm in the Belgian Congo. And that was right up Gustav's alley. He could now walk, and he walked the whole distance, learning the local languages of the villages as he walked. And he had to hire more people because some of the cattle were giving birth. So the calves had to be carried. So he would figure out where they had to go in the dry season because otherwise they couldn't cross the rivers. So Lualaba was one river, Lualaba and Lualaba, I think. They were two major rivers they had to cross. And they lost one cow to an alligator and one cow that died because it couldn't swim for some reason. And they lost one cow to a lion that attacked at nighttime, even though they had carbide lights out to protect themselves.